This podcast is paid for by Principal. No matter who you are or where you are in life, with the right financial partner, progress is possible. Welcome to Defining Moments. My name is Justin Warner, and this is a podcast about those instances in our lives when things change, when we feel ourselves change. In the last episode, I told you a bit about my life and what brought me here. If you haven't heard it, I recommend you back up a bit and start there. Now, I've met a lot of people in my life. I was a waiter for years, and when you wait tables, you get pretty good at sizing people up. I would learn a couple of details about someone, and I'd feel like I'd known them forever. I knew what made them tick, but every now and then, I meet someone and totally get them wrong. Kim Chambers is one of those people. She has this kind of cool exterior, like she's totally in control. But what I didn't realize about Kim is that it wasn't some kind of aloof or too cool for school attitude I was seeing. It was grit. Kim is made of stronger stuff than most of us. I don't think I could have ever guessed what she was capable of. Hello, this is Justin.
Hi, Justin, this is Kim.
Hello.
And you can hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep.
All right. So, Kim, I grew up in Western Maryland. I don't know if you've been to that neck of the woods, but it's kind of rural. But, you know, I lived in a house where I could walk to a convenience store, I could walk to a 7-Eleven, I could walk to the comic book shop. What was it like growing up? What was your, like, childhood household environment like?
I grew up basically in the middle of nowhere in New Zealand, south of a very, very small town called Tikawiti. And my parents still to this day operate a sheep and cattle farm. It's just over 2,000 acres of, just as you'd imagine, New Zealand, green rolling hills, sheep scattered across the landscape, cows. And I went to a very small country school. We'd have to take a bus. I think one of my favorite memories of being at that school was it would have pet day every year, and you get to bring your pet lamb and your pet calf to school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here in America, we all have pet lambs and pet cows.
Yes.
Yeah, I bring mine to school all the
time.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you name them, too. And you can actually, they can be as tame as dogs, actually.
It's easy to get the impression that Kim was a simple country girl. But while other kids were climbing trees and riding ponies, Kim had her sights set beyond the farm.
So I put my first pair of ballet shoes on at the age of 2. I didn't really get into it until I was about 4 or 5, and started studying under the Royal Academy of Dancing. And, you know, I was a ballerina from a very young age.
When you think of ballet dancing, it may conjure up the image of delicate ballerinas and twirling tutus, but the truth is that ballet is brutal. There aren't too many kids who have the mental toughness to do it, but Kim did.
It was a very strict lifestyle, really. You know, I can remember my ballet mistress, that was what she was called, a mistress, would pass by each of us and would be wearing an elastic band around our waist to remind us to hold our stomachs in. And none of us had stomachs. We were all so skinny, and she would just check how loose or how tight that elastic was and whether you were actually using it to remind yourself to hold your stomach in. Oftentimes I'd take my feet out of my point shoes and, you know, be dripping with blood from the blisters. You know, there were definitely periods where I didn't enjoy it, but I don't know, I don't give up.
After years of rigorous ballet competitions and private schooling, Kim did what a lot of teenagers do. She packed her bags, kissed her mom and dad goodbye, and she set off for college. She wasn't content hopping on a bus and driving to a school an hour or two from her hometown in New Zealand. She had bigger plans.
At the age of 17, I'd finished high school, and I'd actually sat my last ballet exam. And I got accepted into UC Berkeley here in California.
So you go to California. I mean, how does it feel? California is not exactly New Zealand, and it's definitely not a sheep and cattle farm.
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but it was kind of like Beverly Hills 90210. You know, the sororities and the fraternities. I used to go to all the parties, and I was 17 and a half, and it was just this grand adventure. When I first started at Berkeley, I would correspond with my mum and dad and my grandparents by letter, and I would have a phone call once a week. And that was a little bit daunting.
But as always, Kim stuck with it. She graduated from college, got a scholarship to return to Berkeley for her master's in human-computer interaction. Afterwards, she had her pick of jobs. That was the 90s, when the tech industry was exploding in the U.S., and Kim was right there, riding on the crest of that wave, not knowing that that wave was about to crash.
Just an ordinary day, like any other day of going to work. I remember, you know, wearing this really lovely tailored pantsuit, and I remember that because as I look back on that time, I was living what I'd probably describe as pretty superficial, very concerned about how I looked, how I dressed. And I was living with a boyfriend at the time, and in our apartment building, there was a very, very steep staircase. And, you know, months prior, I'd put this fabulous ceramic pot with a plant at the bottom of the staircase. And I had my fancy pantsuit on, very high heels. Even though I'm 5'10", I used to love wearing really high heels. And I slipped down that staircase. I can remember hitting the back of my head, and I can remember that feeling kind of like a little bit stunned. But I whacked my right leg on that ceramic pot with quite considerable amount of force. And I can still remember thinking, ah, that's going to be a really bad, bad bruise. What I didn't realize was that my leg, from the blunt force trauma, was already starting to swell. I got to work. I can remember trying to ice it. And that's where my memory disappears. My next memory is quite severe. They've already operated on me. And I'm in a hospital, and I'm staring at my right leg that is massive. It looks like I got two grapefruits on either side of my leg. I kid you not. Two big grapefruit lodged in my skin on either side of my calf muscle stretched out. And I was diagnosed with a condition called acute compartment syndrome.
Acute compartment syndrome is probably not something you've ever heard of before. I hadn't. What it means is that your leg starts to swell, and it keeps swelling. The pressure inside of your leg builds up so much that the blood flow is restricted and the nerves can no longer get oxygen. Everything starts to die.
So they have to release it to open up the leg to relieve the pressure, kind of like letting air out of a balloon. And here I was with two big gaping holes on either side of my leg. And the surgeon came in and, you know, we have these defining moments in our lives, and I just remember exactly what he said, and I still remember it to this day. He said, you know, we saved your leg, but we don't know if you'll ever have any functionality.
Oh, so when a doctor says we don't know if you're going to have functionality,
that means you're not going to be able to walk.
Right, right. I was horrified. Because I guess, you know, I'm a perfectionist. I'm used to everything being perfect and in control. In all my years as a ballerina, I'd never even sprained my ankle, and I'd never broken a bone. I'd had, you know, surgeries as a kid, but I'd never been incapacitated, and I wasn't going to accept this. That's not going to be my life. That is not going to be my life. And I'll show you. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to accept that.
I think we can all easily identify moments in our lives when we're at rock bottom. It's one thing to say you can't accept an event like that, but in reality, I mean, I don't know how I'd cope. I couldn't even cope with ballet points. This was Kim. Ballet trained, no nonsense, farm upbringing Kim. Lying on a hospital bed, faced with the possibility of never walking again. What she ends up doing next, even she couldn't have predicted. This podcast was created by Guardian Labs US and paid for by Principal. Produced by Carrie Budge and Devin Taylor. Presented by me, Justin Warner. Sound designed by Pascal Wise. The executive producer was Alana Chance, and the series editor was Sachin Chanalikar. How would you like to be on a Defining Moment podcast? Enter our contest by sharing your moment at theguardian.com/defining moment. One winner will be featured on a future podcast episode and receive $500 for the charity of their choice. The deadline to enter is July 6th.